was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings.
Welcome to Resurrected Republic RTR Truth Radio, broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
Hey, pretty good, Lori. Thanks a lot. Much better than last night. Hola, mis amigos. I'm back. Last night I was wiped out. I only had 3 hours of sleep the night before, and we spent 15 hours driving around doing errands in the middle of a snowstorm. So I apologize for my one-word answers last night. I just didn't have much energy, and I'm really glad, Lori, you were there to run the ship as you usually do, and you did fantastic. That was a really interesting interview, and I'm doing well. I might have one comment on last night's show, and then we can roll with it.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, the new Black Panthers ain't the old Black Panthers, and that's not good, because the original Black Panthers, the gentleman you played the interview from last night, was one of the founders, I believe, one of the original members, along with a man named Larry Pinckney, who's a fantastic individual who I have a lot of respect for, who was set up by the Federal Bureau of Idiots, because that's about all they do. Hopefully in the future they won't do it. But this is what they've historically done, is create terrorist organizations to suck in as many useful idiots and or set up the patriots and the good guys that are running the real deal stuff. And it's just like here we are with Tom LaGuevara, languishing in a prison cell. He wasn't picked up because there was any threat to public safety, with him sitting in a hotel room waiting for the police to come to ask them to go easy when they raided the Oregon Wildlife Refuge, because there was kids up there, and he was trying to keep the peace and keep everybody alive and calm everybody down. Of course, they showed up, found a weak spot, which was a gun, in the hotel room of a convicted felon. And being that Tom had a minor statutory in his past, I don't believe he should be disarmed. You disarm him, you disarm everybody. You disarm him, you disarm yourself. You stay quiet on his case, everybody's going to stay quiet on y'all case. So,
right,
the old Black Panthers,
you know, every gun law is unconstitutional in the first place.
Absolutely.
Every gun law. And the federal government never had the authority to write one of them, not one of them, shall not be infringed. Look up those terms, shall and not, and infringed and bear. Do it yourself. I'm not going to give you the definitions. But when you look up the actual definitions of those little teeny tiny words that people take for granted, you will find that they never, ever had the authority to make any of those laws, especially in the central government or the federal United States of America Incorporated. But we'll discuss some gun things later, some exciting things later. I'm going to ask everyone who is listening, tonight is the night. I am going to take some calls. I am going to be discussing a lot of different issues, and I'm not trying to cut you off, Eric. I do want you to finish what you're saying, but if you want to speak on some of the topics that we're going to be covering tonight, make sure that you write the number down. It's 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. We will be accepting calls tonight. So go ahead and finish your...
Oh, I love the call. Yeah, I love the calls. Please, people, we welcome your calls. I mean, I can spit it all out in 15 minutes if I, you know, but it'd be condensed, it'd be stripped down, it'd be incomplete. So, you know, but taking up 2 hours is not easy, and especially if it's all straight, you know, talk and not a lot of clips or anything else being played. So, people, we welcome your calls, 800-313-9443. Please call in. We value what you have to say. We've had some fantastic callers. You know, the show would be nothing without the callers and the listeners. So that's I would love to have people call in and contribute. It takes the show off in different directions and have people learn more. So anyway, I'll just get back to my comment on last night. Mm-hmm. In classic form, the Federal Bureau of Investigation sets up real patriots as best they can, like Tom. So Tom's purpose of being out west was mainly to get out there and cover the pending court trial for Clive and Bundy. Okay, remember back to square one with the world's great patriotic family who stood against the government. I don't think there was a patriot in the nation who was against what they were doing. The cattle, you know, in Nevada originally. And Cliven is still sitting in jail. And I want people to remember that. So as people kind of get good news, we got a new administration, happy days are here again. Great, okay, new administration, if they do what we want them to do, if they work for the people instead of the corporation, if they get this whole thing out of the courts that the state is a victim, BS it is, and all these other things, okay, great. But, you know, Cliven's still sitting in jail. Mm-hmm. Tom LaCavara is still sitting in jail. And just like the case, I'm going to circle back with the Black Panthers, the FBI and the state police investigation units, especially the intelligence units, federal and state, they look mm-hmm. to set people up so they can take them out of the... I'm not saying all the guys in there are bad. They're so highly compartmentalized, though, that certain groups can grow up like a cancerous tumor in an agency, and even the higher-ups may not know really what's going on. So, I mean, I think they do when they get to the cabinet level. I mean, they're the shot callers. But all along the chain of management, there's good and bad. So I don't want to paint with too much of a broad stroke. But their purpose is to set up is to create terrorist organizations to suck in useful idiots and then put them out to do terror. I think most of these lone shooters, you know, are obviously mental patients. And it's very easy to get someone to do something they may not even know they're doing through a combination of psychotropic drugs and hypnosis. With what's called a trigger word or a triggering. There was an old movie with Charles Bronson called Telephone, Miles to Go Before We Speak, and it triggered a hypnotic reaction. And this is real stuff that the CIA and the KGB and the Chinese and all the intelligence agencies at the Jesuits, they all play around with this stuff. They want to know how to control people. They've already got the money. So the money things for the useful, greedy executioners along the way who will do anything for a good paycheck, and they get paid really well, $150,000 for New York State troopers. So anyway,
and you know, a lot of people don't remember this, but this goes with what you're saying, so hold your thought. We're going to complete your thought, but this goes with what you're saying. A lot of people don't remember COINTELPRO, and I will put a link, just like I tell all the listeners all the time, on my Google+. If you go there, I have collections. Look under the RTR Truth Radio broadcast. I will put a link to the FBI site that tells you about COINTELPRO. And COINTELPRO it stands for, and it is short for, Counterintelligence Program. It started in 1956 to disrupt the activities of the Communist Party of the United States. And in the 60s, it was expanded to include a number of other domestic groups such as KKK, Socialist Workers Party, Black Panther Party. All COINTELPRO operations allegedly were ended in 1971. But what individuals... allegedly. That's why I said allegedly, because we know better than this. But what people don't understand about COINTELPRO is they will, let's say, for instance... you have a protest going on, and they will put certain individuals in that protest to seem as if they are actually part of the protesters, that will engage in nefarious activities, that will start the riots, that will start the killings and stuff in order to escalate violence and to set these groups up. And so I will put a link to the actual FBI site into the Google Plus part of the RTR collection.
I want you to add one. Boy, I want you to add one to that. The
sure.
One more. We got COINTELPRO. Agent Provocateur.
Yes.
G8. G7 or G8, Montreal. Just type it in your YouTube search engine. Watch it yourself, folks. For those of you who are on the internet and stuff, I respect that. I'll explain it
you
to you real quick.
G8?
Agent Provocateur is one of the intelligence at the G8 or the G7 protest in Montreal where the you know the protest was going on against the consolidation, the globalization. It turned out to be really bad, so these protesters were exactly right in protesting what they were. This nation mm-hmm. would not exist if it weren't for protest, and most of us are sitting around. So at least get out. That's why courtroom observing is great. Go down to your courthouse, pass out flyers, jury notification. Anyway, Agent Provocateur, G8 mm-hmm. or G7 meeting in Montreal. Three guys,
okay.
The only guys in the crowd with masks on. They had bandanas covering their head. They had some kind of baggy cargo pants.
Mm-hmm.
And the creme de la creme, you know, T-shirts, they were all buffed and really big. They looked like they were fresh out of, you know,
military.
You know, pumping iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And
mm-hmm.
and so they didn't fit in. They had to cover their faces because obviously who they were. Turned out, and they could identify them by their boots. There was
mm-hmm.
an exact emblem on their boots that was only issued by the police department. And I believe mm-hmm. the Montreal police ended up actually admitting that this happened, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, along with the masks over their face, they have bricks in their hands. They were the only guys in the crowd that were going to start throwing stuff. And they were standing way in the back of the crowd, right
mm-hmm.
up against the police who were uniformed with the riot gear and the shields and the batons and the whole smash with the helmets, everything. Okay, so when a couple of kids came running over and said, these guys are cops, take off the mask, they wouldn't
mm-hmm.
do it. They ended up getting absorbed, and one of the guys with the bandana started whispering to one of the uniformed riot cops who was right near them, who was obviously the team leader of the uniformed unit. Oh, and they got
mm-hmm.
absorbed right in and escorted. Folks, don't tell me this stuff doesn't happen. So, COINTELPRO
Agent
Provocateur, and link that video, Lori. It's easy to find. There's a gazillion versions of it.
Yeah, I'll find it. The reason I brought up COINTELPRO is because you were talking about Larry Pinckney, right? And the reason I brought that up is because he exposed the new Black Panther Party as being COINTELPRO.
Right.
He himself did that in interviews. If you've never
heard,
I will have to get a hold of his interview because it is a phenomenal interview as well.
It's unreal. You may be able to get him on. He does interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work on that. Okay, so.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, Larry Pinckney's a phenomenal individual. Yeah, he was the original, and he got set up by the FBI. So don't believe everything you hear when these patriots get arrested. A lot of these arrests are setups, and they plant all kinds of things. Richard or Robert Merrick out of New York City was one of the intelligence unit's infiltrators, and they would
mm-hmm.
they would do sexual things and the FBI would capture it on tape,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they controlled a lot of the higher up political players. What about Bernard Carrick? The chief of the New York City Police Department, the largest police force in the nation, I think maybe in the world, and 4 years in federal prison on 7 federal corruption charges. And you know, if there were 7 that they finally agreed on, it probably started out at about 40 charges
right.
and they pleaded down. And even the judge Thompson at the sentencing made comments. He said, this is unreal. What a betrayal. And you know who Bernard Carrick was the immediate right-hand man of? Rudolph Giuliani, the Queen
mm-hmm.
Mayor of Queens of New York. And seeing him buddy-budding up with Trump is really disturbing right now. Rudolph Giuliani needs to be one of the first people arrested, number one, for 9/11 conspiracy. He knew it was in that Building 7, and that building had to be wired up to come down. Weeks it takes. I've talked to people who says it takes months to wire a 40-story building for a controlled demolition that's going to absolutely be guaranteed to be perfect. How
mm-hmm.
do two planes bring down 3 buildings? Anyway, we'll go down that later. But Larry Pinckney was phenomenal. He was set up by the FBI. He did 10 years in prison. wrongly accused and wrongly convicted. If that jury even knew about jury nullification, something we talk about all the time, that would have set Larry Pinckney free. So you may be able to, you know, we may be able to score an interview with him sometime. Get him on to tell the story in his own words. He unified the prison.
That would be great. Because
apparently he came to the defense of an Aryan Nation guy who was up on prison charges that took place on activity within the prison facility. And Larry Pinckney defended him. Larry knew about the law, and he was like the jailhouse lawyer. And, you know, when you're up in the witch's court, I don't care if it's in prison or where, worse in prison, you don't care if your defender, the person who's going to help you, is white, black, green, Martian. They could be an alien. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter, white or black. And Larry Pinckney successfully defended the guy, got him off the prison charges, and they locked him up in solitary, and the prison protested. And it was a huge story. I believe it was in Angola prison, California, hardcore, the hardest of the hardcore they put him in. And he was just a simple, meek, nice guy, loved people, wanted to feed the homeless, feed the hungry, and house the homeless. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's not appropriate. You got to drive. The government's not doing the charity. Nobody gets to do it, i.e. the recent barbecue food thing for the homeless that just got shut down in California by the good street-level Nazis who were just doing their job by making them put bleach on thousands of pounds of chicken and barbecue that the charity organization was serving outdoors to a group of homeless people that were sleeping under the bridge. So it's
that reminds me of an article I did a couple of years ago that this black lady from a neighborhood, she was feeding the homeless people, and the city tried to shut her down. And, I mean, these people would have starved had it not been for her. And she told them she was going to keep feeding them whether they liked it or not. And then, of course, you know, they tried to press charges. We created a really huge stink in the media over this. And thank God the city backed off of that because they didn't like all that negative attention coming to them. But it is amazing to me how people actually, you know, we have that hashtag, see something, do something, you know, not see something, say something, see something, do something, about it, pass it on, help somebody in some sort of way, not because somebody else is going to give you a pat on the back, just because it's right. And so this lady, I mean, she was a phenomenal individual, and I think it was 2013, maybe 2014 when I reported on it. It's on Freedom Outpost. You can go into the archives and you can find it. And it was really an amazing story. But, I mean, she was feeding, you know, not just adults, kids and everything else in the city. The code enforcers, if you will, were trying to shut her down. And thank God it got out to enough people and enough heat went on there and they backed off because that's ridiculous. That's what we are supposed to do. It's our duty, if we have the ability to do that out of our heart, not because we're forced to, but because we are who we are and it's the humanity, Christian thing to do. And when you take care of others, it always comes back to you tenfold. And not from another person, but from God himself, whether you believe in God or not. Even if you, it's kind of like, I don't even know how to say it without saying it in a biblical term, but it's kind of, it just always does. If you do good and you continue to do good and you give out of the kindness of your heart, or you do whatever you're doing out of the kindness of your heart, not because of what you can get back from it, you will always end up thriving. God will always make sure you're taken care of, even if you don't believe in God, because that's just the way his law is set up internally. So I have some things, Eric, now let me tell you, we're getting ready to have some really serious discussion about, Lord have mercy, what in the world is going on. There, I'm telling you, y'all, the political correctness is getting ready to go out the window for a minute. All right? Normally, as you know, I don't get too heated about things, but when I read this article to you, I'm going to get heated. I'm just forewarning you. And I'll tell you why I'm going to get heated before I read this article or even tell you what the topic is. I'm heated because of the way that it is written. I am heated because of the way you can tell whomever wrote this to put the blame on the wrong person. And what am I talking about? Well, first of all, this kind of ties in with what you and I have been talking about for the first few minutes, Eric, actually, you know, these movements and stuff. Well, we know Black Lives Matter is pushed a lot by MoveOn.org and Soros and all this junk. So it kind of ties in with what we've been talking about. All right. So to the many of you that do not know this, there are 6 dead anti-Trump protesters. What happened was 6 people died after a truck collided with anti-Trump protesters on a freeway. So I'm going to read the article, and then I'm going to dissect to you why it really irritates me. And then I would love for Eric, for your opinion, and I would love for some callers' opinions after we cover why. Go ahead.
I was going to say 800 in case they weren't here at the top when we gave the number out. If you all want to call in, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443.
Okay, so this is what the article says. A 32-year-old man driving at Waldrum Brothers delivery truck is responsible for the death of 6 anti-Trump protesters that were blocking traffic while chanting "Dump Trump" in the middle of a Seattle freeway. The accident occurred near I-15 off-ramp today around 5:15 p.m. According to witnesses, a crowd of approximately 16 individuals pulled their vehicles to the side of the freeway and created a barricade by linking their arms together. The protesters' actions immediately hindered the flow of traffic, and motorists became upset at what many of them viewed as unwanted obstacle, preventing them from getting home after a long day at work. A few of the protesters were seen holding signs that read, "Not My President," or "Love Trump's Hate," and all protesters were chanting "Dump Trump." After dealing with the angry motorists for about 5 minutes, the group of protesters moved aside to allow the backed-up vehicles to resume their commute. Once a steady flow of traffic resumed, the group of protesters once again linked arms to create a barricade for a second time. It was at this time when Richard L. Porter, a 32-year-old Seattle resident employed by Waldron Brothers, a local appliance store, as a delivery driver, quickly approached the chain of anti-Trump protesters. According to Porter, he was driving with the current flow of traffic around 80 miles an hour when the obstruction created by the protesters seemed to appear out of nowhere. By the time the protesters were visible to Porter, he didn't have enough time to fully stop, and though he did slam on his brakes and attempted to swerve, he ultimately ran into the group of protesters with the side of his delivery truck. Porter was estimated to have been traveling at a speed of approximately 45 miles an hour when he collided with the group of anti-Trump protesters. Several of the protesters were able to get out of the delivery truck's path. However, 6 protesters were not able to move quickly enough and were ultimately struck and run over by the vehicle. According to police reports, 4 of the fatally wounded protesters were killed upon impact, and the other 2 protesters passed away at a nearby hospital within hours. Porter claims that the incident was a devastating accident, and he did everything possible to avoid hitting the protesters. However, many of the surviving protesters see things differently. The remaining group of protesters have told reporters that they believe Porter intentionally ran over them with his vehicle because he disagreed with their political beliefs. Porter has adamantly denied the allegation that he was intentionally collided with the protesters because of a difference in political views, and he told NBC affiliate reporter that he is a Democrat who voted for Hillary Clinton. According to statements from the police, they're currently investigating the incident as a potential homicide, and at the advice of his attorney, Porter has declined to make any further comments to the media. So let me dissect what ticks me off about this article. Number one, at the very first paragraph of this, they state that The 32-year-old man driving the Waldron Brothers delivery truck is responsible for the death of six anti-Trump protesters. Really, he was on a freeway going with the flow of traffic. Why would it not be on the protesters for being already breaking the law, being in the middle of a freeway? That's one question. The next one that really gets to me, he was going 80 miles an hour. He slammed on his brakes. He swerved to get to try to miss these people. And of course, by saying that they were hit with the back of the truck, that obviously shows that the vehicle went sort of sideways. That's what I'm picturing. So he does everything in his power to miss these people who are already breaking the law, blocking a freeway, and they want to say, oh, it was because of his political beliefs. How do they, first of all, know that these are his political beliefs? Did he stop while he was going 80 miles an hour and ask them what they thought? Just saying.
Well, who they think they're going to convince? People right. Pretty much have their minds made up. What are they going to do? Think they're going to change hearts and minds by blocking traffic on the? I've lived out there. I know exactly where that happened, and I know exactly they were off probably on one of the right lanes, or they probably weren't near the center median. I imagine they pulled up to the right and were in one of those right hand lanes, and he was probably just going right along. I mean, he hit him with the side of their truck. It's obvious he swerved; otherwise, he would have run right into him.
The picture that I'm looking at, it looks like it is the main freeway.
It is. It's a main freeway. Were they off to the right or were they in on the left?
They
not that
were
it matters,
across but, the entire thing.
Oh, you're kidding me. I didn't know they were blocking all the... Oh, my goodness.
They
hey,
were
you know,
across the entire freeway, and how dare them even look at him for homicide?
No, it's ridiculous. Well, this is the danger of living in a place that's where the government, where the people are either politically lazy, like often many... I won't name any towns or counties, but you know, or where they're extremely socialistic, and Seattle would fall into the second category. People out there are very politically active. You saw those people were protesting, but what in God's name were they doing that as a pro? They would have been so much more effective getting down to the witch's court and win some hearts and minds there. That's where you wake people up. Go down and pass out jury nullification flyers on jury selection day at 8:30 in the morning to everybody in line, just before the doors open, and or go to your local traffic court at night. They do a huge business there, Penfield, New York, and 170 people in there one night for minor, idiot, stupid little traffic things. And they're running court all week in a small upstate New York town. And this is once again, the state's a victim, but since they have performance and payment bonds on everything, they keep doing it.
Mike, please hang on. We'll take your call as soon as we come back from a word from our network sponsors.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of years.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observer. So here are the questions. I don't know what it is with individuals, and I don't know whether these protesters that we were just discussing before the show have anything to do with MoveOn.org or not. I don't care. Get off of Stuck on Stupid. Seriously. You're putting yourselves and other people's lives in danger. The people who are driving, obviously, their lives are in danger when you do that as well. But your lives are being put in danger. And yes, even if you do not agree with anything I say, your life matters. It does not matter to me what you believe. Your life matters. But let me tell you something that I find odd. This is another question. And I want to hear from the listeners, see what they think about this. Now, Eric, when let's say a robbery occurs, okay, three individuals are involved in a robbery, and it's an armed robbery, and one of the people who came in on that robbery gets killed by somebody acting in self-defense. The other individuals who were part of that robbery actually get charged with the murder of, or the death of the person who was killed because they were involved in being part of that felony. So why wouldn't, or should, what do you think, the protesters that were blocking off this road that caused this situation in the first place, do you feel like they should be charged? Because these deaths happened and they were involved with it. That's one question. The other question is so absurd. Do you think at all what their rationale, or can you even grasp their rationale that they think this man intentionally tried to hit them? He was originally going 80 miles an hour. If he was intentionally trying to hit them, he would not have slowed down. He would not have swerved his vehicle. That's fact. He'd have just plowed right through them, but he didn't. So I want to know what your thoughts on how this is written, and what is your opinion about them thinking about possible homicide charges on the driver instead of the protesters that were the cause of the situation in the first place? That's the question.
Well, I would say absolutely not on the driver, and some kind of lesser charge for the people involved in the protest. I am very reluctant. As you know, I've got to stay true to the course here. The less activity in the witch's court, the better. If you let somebody get stretched out too far as an accomplice to murder when they were just there and didn't necessarily pull the trigger, you can't charge them with the same.
Involuntary manslaughter is what that would be.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could be convinced. I mean, you know, because what they were doing was so dangerous. Now, that was a threat to public safety. If somebody would have locked them up, it could have caused a huge chain. Those roads are packed. I remember we had to go to work at, you had to leave before 5:30 in the morning. Because if you were on the roads and get there in an hour, if you were on the road at 6:30, all the way till almost noon, it was bumper to bumper, and then the same thing in the afternoon, from 2 o'clock, or from 3 o'clock to 7. And I mean, it was unreal, unbelievable amount of traffic. This is super high congestion, and it's people flying right along. And so, yeah, no, that's a threat to public safety. Okay, now meanwhile, Tom's going to, and they probably won't be prosecuted for anything, because once again, socialistic government. Politically active, but active in the wrong way and in the wrong things. So, you know, this is what happens when people get really stupid and think they're going to change hearts and minds by doing something that's not only stupid and dangerous, but completely ineffective. Their time could have been spent so much more productively doing other activities for whatever cause they believe in. But that one's it's off the charts, stupid and dangerous.
If they were on the side, that would have been another issue, right?
They were at least off smart enough to get off to
the entire freeway. They were across the entire freeway.
I didn't get that part of the. That's the first I've heard of that. So I thought, well, geez, maybe they have to have some brains. Maybe they're blocking the far right lane where it's the pullover lane anyway, and maybe they're jumping out in front of an exit ramp where people have to slow down anyhow. I don't know, but blocking the whole five lanes of high
was their vehicles. That's the only thing that was to the side. So I want to go ahead and take some callers. I want to hear what the callers have to think about this. Mike from Kentucky, how are you doing this evening?
Certainly seems like wanton endangerment or conspiracy. You know, some kind of, we could get a whole group of people here that are engaged in and conspiring to endanger the lives of the people on that freeway. And so wanton endangerment. Plus, I think the driver has the right to go ahead and sue for the suggestion that he could be held to those charges. Because, you know, the public perception is, and I've encountered this personally, if you know, in a lot of places, you get your name in the paper for something, even if you're not guilty of it, people automatically run with that and gossip and say, oh, yeah, you're guilty of homicide.
And they will never forget it. You are right. We dog on the media about that all the time. It's innocent until proven guilty, people, not the other way around.
Yeah, and but people don't abide by that. People treat you as if you're guilty no matter what. A lot of them do. True. Oh, you got his name in the paper, you're guilty of something. But it's just ridiculous. If an Amish buggy or a farmer with his tractor, or bicyclists or other pedestrians, joggers and stuff, were going out there and running on the highway and they caused an accident, they'd be charged for being out there because, like you said, it's against the law And if the, most of those highways have those big signs posted up, no pedestrians. So you're not even supposed to have a moped out there, even if it can go, you know, highway speeds. An unlicensed moped is not supposed to be on those so-called freeways. They're not really freeways.
Right, but, and it's not like they were ever to the side. They knew that this was a high rate of speed area. They intentionally were across the entire thing.
Well, that guy could not have read any of the biggest poster that they could say that they could hold up that said "Dump Trump." You're traveling. I was always taught at 60 miles an hour. I think you're traveling 100 yards a second, 300 feet. You make yourself a big poster that says "Dump Trump" and see if you can read it 100 yards away at speed. You can't.
And so that's if you give a rip to read the poster that somebody has when you're traveling. I mean, he's working. He's either delivering or something because he was in his work vehicle. And
checking his mirrors, looking to, you know, at traffic around him, not
everything else. He's trying to get his job done. And now also, can you imagine the trauma that he now has to deal with because of these individuals thinking, you know, I guess they think they're 10-foot tall and bulletproof and they can jump out in front of a vehicle and they're Superman or something. People need to, I mean, do you think, or does it seem like to you, more and more these days, people are really getting stuck on stupid? I mean, I hate to say that, but that's about the nicest way I know how to say this.
Part of it, I think, is there's a lot of nutritional issues going on. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of essential fatty acids in the diet. There's a lack of, there's a, you know, preponderance of antibiotic substances in the diet and chocked full in the industrialized food, but which is messing with the microbiome.
And all that added to it,
The probiotics, the friendly bugs in our gut, it affects a lot more than people realize as far as brain chemistry and sleep quality, and it's something crazy like 70% of the brain chemistry can be produced in the gut. So I think all these factors cause problems with brain inflammation, shrinkage, and make people more hyper-emotional and less stable.
You know what? That's a good point. That's a very good point, isn't it, Eric?
I would also add mineral deficiencies and all that, and he's exactly right. And by the way, if this was a patriot protest, like Yago Trump, where was their permit to protest? I'll bet you that would be the first thing that communist government in Seattle would be coming up with. You know, and so it's a complete double standard, and the driver's got to remember this is the everybody's got to look inward somewhat. This is
was
the
it anywhere near
living in a little.
Was it anywhere near a college campus?
Oh, there's one right there.
I do not know that. I'm only.
Yeah, they were definitely outside their free speech zone, I think.
Oh yeah, the picture that it shows, it is a 1, 2, 3, 4 lane. Part of the freeway, 4 lanes.
On each side?
No. Yeah. On one side. The other side is another 4 lanes. And it is...
Your caller is correct.
It's stopped by... you know the cement barricades that they have?
Yep.
So you have the traffic that is going one way is 4 lanes, and then your other 4 lanes is going the opposite way. All I know,
so
I don't
talking
know if it
a lot
is
of
near.
People. You're talking 60, 80 people to go all the way across that.
Well, let's see. The picture shows.
Each lane's 9 feet.
13 is what it's showing. But the way that they're doing it, what it looks like is the one that I said was a lane. Looks like it may not be a lane. It looks like it may be the pull off where they've got their cars parked, and then
shoulder.
There's 3 lanes. So I need to correct my statement on that because the other, you can tell now that I look at it closer, it's a solid line. So I would say that's where those cars on that what appears to be 4th is not really a 4th. That's where
the
the shoulder that they're off on.
We're still talking probably 30, 35 feet on each side, so you're talking a total of probably 70, 80 feet that if they're going to string people, whatever, elbow to elbow, locking arms, then you're
talking
a lot of people.
Well, it's not elbow to elbow. On some parts of it, it's elbow to elbow, but the way that they're straddled,
they're locking arms.
Well, they are, but not all the way across locking arms.
Oh.
I don't know how to explain picture. The best way to do it, let me tell you, go to my Google Plus. Go into my collection. When you go to Google Plus, you do the plus.google.com, and then you do a backslash, you put a plus sign, and Lori Anderson, LoriAnderson, go into my collection that is RTR, Truth Radio Broadcast, look through it, you will see the article. I post the articles and stuff that I discuss on the show so people can find them, and you'll see the picture that I'm talking about. They have a...
There's a whole pile of charges that could be levied against them, from disorderly conduct all the way up to wanton endangerment. And I mean, obviously, their media is biased.
Could have had so much bigger impact doing a bridge banner thing from a bridge,
right? And they're literally okay. There's an overpass right there by them.
Oh, I know.
Because I can see it in the picture.
Yeah, they could have done so many numerous things that would have been completely safe and way more effective. You know, not even
or
bringing
just
the
on the side with signs, because on the cement barrier that's over there on the opposite side of their cars, there's also a fence. They could have done it there and not been hit
and not
put anybody in danger.
Well, not to derail the subject, but
sure.
When you first called for calls, you were talking about Building 7. Something I've never heard anybody talk about is what is beside, or what was beside, Solomon Brothers Building on either side were critical infrastructure buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can bet, we don't know everything the government has as far as contingency plans for urban disasters. And the Verizon building is on one side, and it did take a lot of money to rebuild that, at least aesthetically. They spent a lot of money rebuilding the Verizon building. But, I mean, obviously it's a critical infrastructure building with all kinds of antenna on top of there, microwave drums, and critical infrastructure for communications. On the other side of the Solomon Brothers building was the post office. And so... And of course, if you know about historical fires, being the Chicago fire, the San Francisco fire, you have a domino effect where you have one building catching on fire, falling into another and another and another. You get, you know, a runaway situation if you don't have a contingency plan. And I have to wonder if they don't have emergency demolition provisions that they don't let the public know about. When you're allowed to build the buildings that close to each other, as I mentioned, these, you know, the freeway lanes, about 9 feet, I think, is a standard lane, and there's a very narrow roadway on either side of those buildings, just enough, almost you'd call it an alleyway. So there's probably less than 30 feet between the post office and Solomon Brothers, and 30 feet between the Solomon Brothers and the Verizon building. So what insurance company would insure these 37 story tall skyscraper to be that close to the other building to potentially, you know, collapse on it, unless they had emergency demolition plans to bring that building down in such a way that it couldn't hit those other buildings? That's a liability. I mean, it's a liability because, I mean, you're dealing with what is that story considered, 12 feet or something? I forget how many hundred feet that building was. It's 37 stories, so, you know, several hundred feet to fall and not hit either of those buildings. But they were damaged, you know. We obscured from smoke. You couldn't see the damage to the South Tower, but it's pretty ridiculous to think that it fell from just fire and, you know, without any kind of contingency plan.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's absurd. And by the way, any real terrorist would have flown those planes into nuclear power plants. It would have done way more damage.
Well, guys, let's not get off on 9/11 tonight.
You mentioned it. You mentioned Building 7. So it was just like Oklahoma City. Building 7 was full of documents for investigations, just like the Murrah building was. It had a lot of documents that were damaging to the status quo.
Yeah, and so did the two towers. The actual Trade Center 2 towers had lawyers' attorneys' offices that were loaded with evidence of criminal activity and RICO and all the stuff. We know what
we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe that all of that.
Thank you so much.
All righty.
Anything else? You stay with us. We got 10 minutes till the top of the hour.
Are you there?
I think he hung up. I wasn't insinuating that he needed to go. I was just telling him he was making good comments. I think maybe that was a good time to hang up because we were going to go down and build the 9/11 rabbit hole that would have taken the show a little bit off track.
We don't mind covering. We're just not going to go down it all tonight. Got other footage, other stuff, and we also have other callers that have been waiting on the line, too. We do want to thank you, Mike, for your call. And just in case you can hear us, feel free to call back. We will cover that topic on a different night, I promise. Dave from Nevada, how are you doing this evening?
Great, Lori. Thanks for taking my call again.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Just a real quick comment on this particular story that you're covering. I'm surprised they weren't even cited for jaywalking.
If they were, I do not know anything about it. It hasn't been reported that they have been.
I don't know, but it's interesting because what I've come to realize is that certain groups are in terms of protesting, they are literally politically protected by the police. I'll give you an example. I was in downtown Los Angeles for Gay Pride Day, and I'm walking down the street, and literally, there are hundreds of men riding on bicycles, and they weren't just riding on bicycles; they were buck stark naked.
Oh, great.
And not just that, they were being escorted by LAPD.
But had I done something like that, it would be indecent exposure.
It's indecent exposure. But because there is a certain political class now, they're given the red carpet.
Special rights, special class. It's not appropriate in a free republic.
I've seen hordes of illegal immigrants escorted by the police, blocking traffic in downtown.
It really shows who the police are working for.
Exactly. There are only certain classes, and we all know who they are. They're all leftist groups, and they're all being protected and escorted and protected by the police. The other groups, they're getting persecuted.
Oh, Lord, aren't they ever. That's the truth.
Leftist groups need leftist police protection, and it looks like that's what they're getting.
Can you imagine if it had been the Bundy protesters and everybody that was supporting the Bundys over the Nevada issue
that was shutting down and doing
all that, and they were escorting them instead of raising Cain? I know at one point that they did shut down the freeway in order to get the cattle, but the police, were not escorting them and saying, "Oh, it's okay, let me help you out." As you can tell, you're right, there is a double standard, Or can you imagine if it was Christians that wanted to do that?
They'd be immediately arrested. They'd be immediately arrested. They'd make big news, and they'd be made out to be really bad people, which we know they're not, but that's what the communist government would do, especially there in Seattle. That's what that place was all about. I mean, that was tens of thousands of people showing up for Obama concerts.
Now, Dave, where did this protest that you're talking about, where did you say that happened?
Which one?
The one where the people were naked, or the illegals. It doesn't matter, either one.
Oh, these were both in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. So this was California. Okay.
Yeah, this is California, which is, well, you know, California, mm-hmm. California. But it's the entire West Coast is completely, it's wacko. It's completely yeah. gone nuts.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've called into Tom's show a few times, and I called in during one show, and we were talking about the Trump election before he got elected. And I was basically telling Tom, I voted for Trump, and I'm not too happy about Trump, but I just voted for him just because mm-hmm. I didn't see any other alternative. But anyways, I was telling Tom, it doesn't really matter to me as much who gets into office. What was more important to me at that point in time was that Hillary get indicted and go to prison.
Amen.
That to me was infinitely more important than Trump getting into office. Because to me, I was explaining to Tom, and you agree with this, I said, to me, the crux of the issue right now is our justice system. It's the courts mm-hmm. and law enforcement.
Absolutely.
That's the real core of the problem.
Yeah, they're the enforcers. That's exactly right. And I appreciate, you letting us know about the interesting protests that... So do you think this, in your opinion, because my opinion is, even if it's not involuntary manslaughter or something like that, even if it's something, do you feel, because I know what I feel, but I'm not going to give you my opinion yet, because if I do, I may alter yours, and I don't want to do that. Do you feel that the protesters who were involved with this should be charged with something because they were already breaking the law by being in the middle of the freeway?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. So they should have been charged with something. I mean, they're definitely they're endangering they weren't just endangering themselves. They're endangering the drivers on the freeway.
Right. What if that truck driver had his child with him riding, because some truck drivers sometimes take their kids, right? What if this truck driver wasn't, you know, on the job per se, but had his kid with him, and that kid got killed? Are they going to still try to blame that on the truck driver?
I don't think so. I mean, it wasn't the truck driver that was creating the obstruction.
Right.
You know?
See, that's my thing. And the reason I think this upset me so bad is by the way this is worded. It is trying to make the protesters out to be the victims and the truck driver out to be this demonic person. That's just my personal opinion. Never once quoting about the illegality of them being out there in the first place. Never once bringing up the fact that they are putting other people's lives in danger. It is not like they were blocking a road that has got a 15 or 20 mile an hour speed limit where people can stop. We're talking 80 miles an hour. They knew they were going to create a massive problem. You couldn't not know that. So was their intent just to protest, or was their intent to possibly create an accident? Because people traveling at 80 miles an hour, if they see them, they're going to slam on brakes. There could have been a 20-car, 30-car, 40-car pileup. There wasn't, thank God. And I'm sad that they lost their lives. But when are people going to wake up and stop being stuck on stupid, stop doing things that is going to cause your own death, and then try to get people who are affiliated with you want you to be the victim when you have caused your own demise? And on that note, we'll be back right after a word from our network sponsors.
Interested in Photo ops.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.